Welcome to Define Your Path with Doc V, bringing you real talk with global thought leaders to inspire hearts and minds for sustainable breakthroughs and profitability for your life and business. Here's your host, Doc V.
Hi, I'm Dr. Virginia LeBlanc, also known as Doc V, the Pivot Maestro. Welcome to the Define Your Path podcast for those seeking to define their own path into purposed entrepreneurship. This is a show about transforming perspectives, as well as inspiring and motivating you to think without a box by exposing you to global thought leaders, change agents, and legacy builders across industries on how they successfully define their path in life and business to profitability and sustainable wins. Folks, at Defining Paths, we operate in truth, transparency, and love to help you navigate the waters of your life and put you back in business. And Define Your Path podcast is absolutely no different. It all starts in the mind. The question, will you be the captain or the crew? Folks, today's spotlight is with Gina Longo. Let me tell you a little bit about Gina. You are going to love, love, love this conversation. Gina Longo is the founder of Gina Longo Consulting and Trig Point Systems, LLC, which provides bespoke leadership training systems to both individual and corporate clients. As a former airline captain, and you heard me correctly, a former airline captain and flight instructor, Gina flew as a pilot in command on more than 3,000 flights and carried more than 75,000 people and many pets. She makes me make sure that we mention safely to their destination, folks. She then moved to Great Britain to instruct corporate pilots and later spent 3 years as an international solo traveler. Gina is also a crew resource management instructor, certified to train flight leaders and their team members how to connect, communicate, and collaborate, as well as a four-time international bestseller co-author. As a leadership trainer and the creator of the Calmfident, that's C-A-L-M-Fident leadership system, Gina's on a mission, folks, to help businesses attract and keep the right team members by developing leaders that people want to work with. And that is extremely important. So Gina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Doc V. I appreciate it. Looking forward to this.
Yes, absolutely. I cannot wait to hear your story, particularly about our furry little friends. We look forward to hearing your story, how you faced your fears to love the skin you're in and pivot into pursuing your passion and soul purpose. So as we talked about in kind of in the pre-show, we asked two questions. How have you defined your path and how do you help others define theirs? So the spotlight is yours.
Well, the first question you said is, how did I define my path? Yes. And it's sort of a circuitous route. I didn't get to where I am now by a straight line. I guess nobody really does. But I would say that there are actually two ways that I did that. One is I didn't want to have any regrets. I didn't want to get to the end, wherever the end is, whenever it is, and say, I wish. I wanted to have no I wishes. In other words, I wanted to make sure that I did everything that I really wanted to do before the end hit, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you're familiar with this Steve Winwood song, but there's a line in it, I forget the name, while you see your chance, take it.
Yes.
So if I saw a chance and it was something I wanted to do, I jumped at it. So I think basically if you were to look at my tombstone, whenever that happens many years down the road, she did what she wanted to do would be it.
So I
tried to do what I wanted to do. And a lot of that came about because I was sort of like, I don't know what I want to do. So I'll try this and then I'll try this, you know, and I think I'm not the only one who has done that occasionally, but, and eventually I hit on something. I sort of had something going. This is right after college. I got my master's degree and I was working on a horse farm. I love horses, ride hunters and stuff like that. And I was working on the horse farm. I'm shoveling and raking and doing all that fun stuff. Right. And a girl came in and she dressed out in her, you know, fine clothing and she hops on her very expensive horse. And I'm like, you know, I want to be that. Why can't I do that?
Right.
And it occurred to me that working on a horse farm, as much fun as it was not going to get me the horse. And so I talked to my dad, who said he was an airline pilot at the time. He said, look, if you become a pilot, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to travel and you'll be able to afford a horse. And I said, great, I'll go do that. So I had already applied to law school and then I applied to flight school and I got accepted to both. And I really seriously flipped a coin. I went, flight school it is. So I moved to Florida and went to flight school and I spent a year and a half down there as a student. Then I became an instructor and then I went to the airlines. And I spent 10 years at my airline, and 8 of those were as a captain. And then I realized that while that was a lot of people's idea of a dream, mm-hmm. being an airline captain, I was like, you know what? This isn't actually really what I want. What I really wanted was to live in the UK, because I visited the UK mm-hmm. many years ago and I fell in love.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes you go to a place and it's home. The minute you get there, mm-hmm. it's absolutely home. That was Britain for me. I was not even up the jetway. I got off the plane for the first time. And I remember the date. It was August 13th. I got off the plane for the first time, August 13th. I won't tell you the year because it'll give away my age. Long time ago. And I went, oh my God, I'm home. And So from that day, I wanted to move to the UK. So after 10 years in the airlines, I finally decided to make the move. And I found out that there was a training company just south of London who was looking for instructors. So I applied. Got the job. Happiest day of my life was the day I got hired, and I moved to the United Kingdom. Wow. And that lasted. I love my job. That was great. I had a great time. That lasted for about a year and a half, and then the economy blew up, mm-hmm. and a lot of people lost their jobs, and I was one of them. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I had sold my house. I had bought a house in the UK. I had cleaned out my retirement account to buy this house, and now I had no income, no money. I lost my work visa, which meant I lost my right to stay in the country. Mm. And I had just brought my two German Shepherds, over from the US. And now I'm like, now what do I do? I can't afford to stay here. I was lucky to be able to get a different type of visa so I could stay in the country for another 3 years. But I couldn't afford to stay in the house. So the dogs and I, well, me mostly, but bought a touring caravan. It's called trailer in this country, a touring caravan and the world's worst Jeep. And if I can give you one piece of advice, it is do not buy a car off eBay. Just trust me on that. Okay. Don't do it.
Noted.
You see cars listed on eBay. Don't do it.
Noted.
This thing was a lemon and a half. I mean, I could make 15 gallons of lemonade out of this Jeep.
It was terrible. Gosh.
But it was powerful enough to tow the caravan. So for 3 years, my dogs and I rented the house for a year and then I was able to sell it. But my dogs and I spent 3 years on the road in this touring caravan. Again, when you see your chance, take it. Yeah. I could have left the UK when the visa was taken away from me. I could have just given up and come back. But I was like, you know what? I gave up a lot to come here and I am not going to give up on this if there's any chance that I can stay here and make this work. And so 3 years, my dogs and I spent traveling and then we came back to this country. So that's sort of kind of the adversity we had to overcome. And one thing that you said in your introduction is you like your people to think, was it outside the box or without a box?
Without a box.
Without a box.
Yeah. Well,
one of the things I say is that I learned to think inside the box. And what I mean by that is I had told you I had just bought the house, right?
Yes.
And I couldn't stay in the house. Mm-hmm. Inside the box meant inside the touring caravan, because if I hadn't done that, we would have been homeless.
Yeah.
So we thought inside this little 17-foot touring caravan, it was either the caravan or live under a bridge. So I rolled the dice and said, caravan looks like a much better option. So we did that and spent 3 years on the road.
Gina, you know, that is absolutely amazing. First of all, I love the fact that you are a fighter and that you are a go-getter. And, you know, and just that your personal mantra, I mean, how huge is that? You know, because so many people, you know, when we're younger, you know, and I won't date myself either, but when we're younger, you know, it's like we're playing that kind of guessing game or what do we want to be when we grow up? But how many people actually act on it, you know, and you did.
And, I wanted that horse.
You know, girl, and I love horses. You know, my father was a jockey.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. But, you know, you went for it and you've been following your heart. And I really feel like that's like a soul connection that you made early. How did you overcome just like the doubt, you know, those voices that are out there that, you know, the naysayers are, oh, you're moving, you know, across the pond away from your family and all of that.
How basically, did you deal with that? I didn't give anybody a choice. Seriously. It's a lot easier to ask. What is that? It's a lot easier to get forgiveness and permission. Mm-hmm. So I got the job. I got the house ready to be cleaned out. I already had a place to live in the UK. And I went, Mom, Dad, guess what? I'm moving. Can you help me pack up the house? And oh, by the way, can you take the dogs until I can bring them over there? And they kind of went, what? So you sort of, I don't want to say that's necessarily the right way to go about it, but I have found that in my personal experience, it's a lot easier just to do something that you want to do. And then and that way you don't have to really explain it. It's a done deal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now what is it? What is it your military family background that also kind of just, you know, makes you or gives you that free spirit, or, you know, not even second guessing, oh, what's out there? And
It might be. Well, you're military yourself, so you understand, but you just get wanderlust. You know, it's sort of, I get bored if I'm in one place too long, and I love to travel and I love to see things. And as I said, I wanted to live in the UK, and I thought, I have a chance. I've got to go for it. Now, I was in kind of a different position maybe than a lot of your viewers because I was single. I didn't have kids. And so I didn't actually have to, there weren't a lot of complications that were keeping me from doing what I want to do. So that I understand can kind of put a damper on some people's, oh, I'm just going to go for it, because you do have a lot of other considerations. I was lucky in my mind that I didn't have to worry about that. I just had to get my dogs over there, and they were like, okay, we'll go.
Yes. So, okay. So you're driving across the countryside, up and down around the United Kingdom. And as you're traveling and you're in the box, you started thinking, though, you know, outside of it, well, what's next, right? I mean, how did you get to your next steps?
Well, one of the things that actually was, the visa ended, right? So I didn't really have a choice. I had to come back into the United States. And once I got back here, I will admit, I spent some time going, great, now what do I do? You know, because I'd had my dream, I'd gone after it, I'd got it, and then I lost it, right? Because my dream was to stay living in the UK. I would have been happy being an instructor for the rest of my life. Well, it didn't work out that way. But then, you know, I was able to kind of transfer that into the traveling thing. And then when that ended, as it had to, I came back and I was literally at loose ends. I was just like, I don't know what the heck I want to do now. So you have to work through things. And there's a mourning period. I mean, I'll admit that there's a mourning period when you lose something you really fought for, something you really wanted, and then it comes to an end and you do spend some time going, now what? So I, you know, kind of just kicked around. I tried a few different things. I tried becoming a technical writer because I was an English major in college. So, you know, writing is one of my strong suits. Oh, that didn't work out. I tried doing business to business with airports, you know, small airports. You know, I was going to help them do their advertising and build up their marketing, you know, like, not that anything about marketing, but I didn't know about small airports. I thought, well, that didn't work out either. Well, what am I going to do now? And during this period, I lost both of my dogs. So now, in addition to not being where I wanted to be, now I was living with my parents at this point, you know, and then COVID hit, but I lost both my dogs prior to that. And for years, it had just been the three of us. You know, they were my best friends. They were my travel buddies, my travel companions. And within a year and a half, they were both gone of, unfortunately, old age. So, but, you know, and now, so now you're mourning for what you've lost, the dream that was gone. Now you're lost your best friends. And then what do you do? So it really is, it was a time of, well, depression, quite frankly. But how do you get past that? Because this isn't a story of being depressed. It's a story of working through that. And I got some good advice from my sister, who said, there's no timeline on grief, because a lot of people, and I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent, but a lot of people say, oh, you should be over it, especially if it's a pet. Yeah. Oh, it's just a dog, get over it. And you're like, oh, it's not just a dog, it's my best friends. Sorry. You know, but you kind of work through it and you get, you don't move past it, but you learn to go beyond it, maybe. Does that make sense? Kind of beyond it. Absolutely. And I was talking to, I worked with a business coach, for what she's speaking coach, actually. And one thing she pointed out to me was that when I started talking about leadership and being an airline captain, that I really lit up. And I said, really? I just what I did, you know, I just did it. That was my job. And she said, no, this is what you ought to focus on. Because I was going to try to be a business coach. Right. That's what you want to be. You want to be a business coach when you've never had a successful business, right? Not such a great idea. But she said, yeah, when you talk about being an airline captain and how you work together and how you and your crews work together. And I was instructor at my airline as well, where I taught crew resource management, which, as you said, is teaching crews and flight attendants too, because we did our training with the flight attendants. So we were learning how to work together as crews. And I taught that in the classroom, in addition to doing it actually on the flight line with my crews. And this business coach said, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be teaching people this stuff. And I went, really? Okay, sounds good. So that's kind of how I got into this, you know, this direction that I've taken is, you know, I went through all of that grief, all of that sadness, all of that loss, but somebody gave me some good advice and somebody showed me a light that could be at the end of the tunnel, where I could take all of the stuff that I've been through, all the stuff that I've learned, and maybe use it to sort of help other people kind of find their way as well.
Yeah. You know, I absolutely love this. You know, you kept dreaming. You know, and that's the thing. I think so many people, when we hit that, you know, that wall or what have you, you know, we just stop, you know, and we're stunned and, you know, we never get up off the floor, you know, off the mat, but you got up, you kept fighting, you found a way over, under, through, and you found, you know, you found another dream that, you know, sounds like you've arrived now also at your, you know, your sole purpose and what you're supposed to be doing. And girl, who knows, you might end up back in the UK with me.
I would love that. I'll take you out for a pint. I'll show you where the locals go.
Yes, yes. So I love the fact that you kept dreaming, you know, and now, you know, you're changing lives, you know, on a level that you probably never thought you would or imagined, because you weren't really thinking, you hadn't connected the dots yet. Mm-mm. And I love it when we meet people who help us, you know, because others can see us better than we can see ourselves off the top, right? Until we start the, you know, get into that introspection and that inner knowing and all of that. So I love the fact that someone pointed you in the right direction and you started looking at that and didn't hesitate, because some people would have doubt or I've had my dream or I've lived my life. And now it's like, you're over here, what, 2.0 or 3.0?
I don't even know which iteration this is. Several iterations down the line, but you know, you can't quit growing, you know, I mean, and as you say, I'm doing this leadership thing now, but it's not all that I'm doing. I'm also writing a book about my travels, you know, and it won't be about the whole 3 years, because that would be like Anna Karenina, War and Peace, and every other, like, it would be that thick. You'd never be able to carry the thing around, but it's about the first weeks of first 6 weeks of my dogs and my time on the road. And during that first 6 weeks, actually, my mother was there with us.
Oh, wow.
So it was mom, me, my dogs, and literally all of my stuff. And I mean everything, because I had to clean out my house, right? So everything I owned in this Jeep and in this caravan.
Oh, wow.
And we spent 6 years on the road. 6 years. I wish. 6 weeks on the road. And so that's what this book is about. So that's sort of my passion project. That's the thing that I love. That's called Britain Unleashed.
Ah, so, nice. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's unleashed because the dogs were able to be off leash most of the places over there. But back to the leadership thing, Zig Ziglar, and I'm going to get the quote not exactly right, but it's, you can get everything you want if you help other people get what they want.
Yes.
I'm sure you've heard that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Famous quote. Mm-hmm. Well, that's sort of how I'm thinking. You know, I've got all this experience. I've got good and bad and, you know, kind of warts and all. I've got all this experience, good and bad, all this knowledge. And maybe I can help other people sort of find their way through the trials and tribulations that they're having sort of in the leadership space or their job or their career. And businesses on the other side, businesses, maybe they're not having the luck or the success that they're looking for because they're not able to get their leaders into the situations they want them to be in. So I can help them actually reach their business success dreams. So it's sort of a combination of the two things that I'm trying to do.
Oh, I love it. I love it because it really all does start, you know, in the mind, you know, in mindset. So I imagine, you know, you probably work with them on mindset and other things. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit, how do you help others define their path?
Well, I sort of touched on it just then, but you're right. And actually what you said is exactly the first step. It's, I actually call it the confident mindset, and I sort of compare it to the captain's mindset. And like, literally that is step one. So well done you for coming up with that.
Bravo.
Because if you don't have the right mindset to be a leader, it's never going to work. Like, you can have every skill in the book, but if you're still thinking the wrong way, then it's not going to work. One of the things I like to say is at my airline that I flew at, is one of the things they said was, we don't hire career first officers. In other words, they didn't want to hire people who were content to just sit in the right seat, because, you know, captain's in the left seat, first officer's in the right seat, who just consent to sit in the right seat and never kind of reach their potential. They wanted to hire people who were willing to take that big step and take on that responsibility and take on that, you know, job of being the final say. Now, obviously, you take on, as a captain, you listen to what everybody else says. You listen to air traffic control, you listen to dispatch, you listen to maintenance, you listen to your first officer, you listen to the flight attendant, but the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You are the final. You may have to explain yourself in what we call the carpet dance to the chief pilots, but in the moment, you have to be willing to step up and take the responsibility and take the heat if there's going to be heat. And my company didn't want to hire people who weren't willing to take that step. So one of the things that I think is helpful is if you're working with someone and you make sure you can get them into that mindset of being willing, because you know they're able to, willing to take that step into sort of the left seat and be able to take on that responsibility.
Absolutely. And have that calm confidence.
Exactly. Calm confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah. I That's love exactly that. What it is. Calm confidence. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So, I mean, you know, I tell you, time just flies on these interviews and I'm having so much fun here. So I want to talk a little bit, like, do you work with, what is your preference in your, in who you work with? Do you work with young professionals? Do you work with mid-level career? Is it any and everyone who comes and is in need of your services or?
Sort of anyone. I find it interesting to work with beginner, not so beginners. I hate to use that word, mm-hmm. but sort of entry-level people because mm-hmm. A lot of times they're not being taught in the educational system, the skills they need to transfer that into business.
You better preach. Yes. Please continue. Yes.
So it's interesting to work with mm-hmm. kind of the up and comers.
Yes.
Because they haven't been taught those skills. They don't know how to lead. They don't know what it feels like maybe to try and not succeed. You know, mm-hmm. maybe they've never had that opportunity. So, mm-hmm. you know, try to get them into that mindset of what it feels like to be a leader, how it feels to lead other people mm-hmm. and how it feels to be in charge and take the responsibility. So, but you know, basically anyone, if you say you need help, I'm here.
Yeah. Bring it. You know, you hit on something and look, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole unless you want to go, but you know, I think you hit on something very important. A lot of times people, you know, we learn in school in the education system, we learn about theory, right? And mm-hmm. and not often enough do we have like the practical application to practice how to be a leader, you know, right. And we have these thoughts about being a leader, right? And then we go out and we try to enact them and then we fall on our face because we've not considered all the varying dynamics of what a leader is, you know, and it's not about power, you know, in my opinion, mm-hmm. it's about servant leadership. So can you talk a little bit more just about that? Is that something that you encounter in your conversations, your consulting?
Yeah, it can be. And one of the things that I like to say about, I'm actually, because I have it written down and I wanted to make sure that I got it right in case mm-hmm. this got brought up. So if you just pause me just one mm-hmm. second, is sometimes you get, and I'm going to kind of go into the male-female thing right here. Okay. Sometimes yes. you get women who are perceived as not great leaders mm-hmm. or they have trouble being perceived as leaders. And especially in male-dominated environment. Now, I spent my entire mm-hmm. career in a male-dominated environment. And mm-hmm. I can throw out some statistics if you're interested, but I won't go there. But just suffice to say that aviation is very, very male-dominated. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn how to work within them. And I was asked at one point, you know, how did you do that? And I said, well, I did it by learning to speak the language of the people who were there.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like you wouldn't go to a foreign country. Like mm-hmm. I bet you said you were in Greece. I bet you learned some Greek, didn't you?
I did.
Of course. So if the dominant language of the culture that you're in is X, then you should learn to speak at least a few words of X. So one of the ways that I was very successful and enjoyed being in a male dominated environment is I learned to speak the language of the guys speak. Mm-hmm. I speak fluent dude, as
yeah.
I say.
Me too.
So that's one of the things that, and I know women are like, well, I shouldn't have to change. I'm like, well, you're not changing. What you're doing is you're adapting to them. And one of the things that I know about being a leader is you can't drag people where you want them to go. So you have to kind of go get them, meet them where they are, mm-hmm. meet them where they are, and then bring them
to
where you want them to go. Okay.
Yes.
So if they are over here speaking this language, then you just go and you speak a little bit of their language and then you bring them back to where you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it just works out better that way. But as far as being a leader, you can be, in the way you talk, you can be clear, you can be straightforward, you can be honest, and you can still be at the same time empathetic
yes.
and thoughtful and kind. Mm-hmm. They're not mutually exclusive. So you don't have to be this authoritarian this is how it's going to be person. You can be all of these things at once. And in fact, in my opinion, the best leaders are all of those things at once. They're clear. They're straightforward.
Yep.
They speak briefly and they're empathetic and they're thoughtful and they're kind all at once. And if maybe sometimes you need a little lean a little more on one side of that, you do. And sometimes you need a little lean a little more on the other side, then you do. But you combine all of those into how you lead.
Yes, I love it. Absolutely brilliant. You know, absolutely brilliant. You know, I think a lot of people think you have to be one way or the other. Because oftentimes, you know, we tell people it's, you know, that things are, and we look at things as black and white, you know, it's a part of just our conditioning, you know, our cultural conditioning, social conditioning, whatever conditioning you want to call it. But, you know, there are and needs to be that the shades of gray in the respect to do exactly what you just so beautifully summarized. So
no, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. Any other thoughts or words of wisdom that you want to share, you know, with other folks who are, you know, maybe trying to find their way, their place in life, or who are starting on the entrepreneurial journey, who are seeking and trying to find, you know, their soul purpose? You know, what would you like to share?
Well, again, if you see a chance, take it. So if someone offers you the opportunity and you think that it might help you along your journey, jump at it. It's a lot easier to get forward that way. If you start going, I'm afraid, I'm scared, just go for it. You'll figure it out along the way. And I have to remind myself of this too. Trust me, I'm not perfect at this. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. You'll figure it out. Okay. So if somebody gives you the opportunity to do something that you think is something A, that you want to do, and B, that will help you, go for it. Try it. Figure it out as you do it, right? You know, what is that? You build the wings as you're flying or something? Build the plane as you're flying.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, no regrets and no I wishes. Okay. Don't get to the end and say, I wish I'd started that business. I wish I'd gone back to school. I wish I'd done something. Don't have any I wishes. So figure out all of the things that you think that you would regret if you didn't do, and do them. Just do it.
And that's a mic drop, Gina. Oh my gosh. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for being our spotlight today.
Oh, I had such a good time. It was really easy. It was really a lot of fun. What an enjoyable time. Thank you so much for being an amazing interviewer. I'm so impressed with your skills.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. And you are truly a kindred spirit. So we are definitely going to stay connected and see how we can play together and help change lives. So
looking forward audience, to it.
Be sure to follow Gina on social media. Please tell them, how do you best want them to connect with you?
You can either get me at my website, ginamlongo.com, or on LinkedIn, Gina Longo. And I'm the only one that was a pilot. So it's pretty easy to find.
And there you go. Folks, you may also read Gina's full bio and connect with her on the Define Your Path podcast platform. And be sure to check out our virtual home to see what we're up to at definingpaths.online. And we'd love to just thank you. We'd like to thank you for being here, for listening, for taking the time. So tell folks about these life-changing conversations that we're having. We'd like to thank our Business Innovators Radio Network and our producer, Mike Saunders, for their amazing support and assurance that we may continue to bring you these quality and inspiring conversations. I'm Doc V, the Pivot Maestro, and always your corner woman. Be true to you and define your path so that you may be your own boss in mind, body, soul, and business. We'll see you on our next episode.
You've been listening to Define Your Path with Doc V. Learn how to see with true vision and define your path. Visit definingpaths.online/true-vision.